Welcome. You are about to take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bouffet on the Love by Intuition show. For the next hour, allow her to prepare you in becoming a magnet for a profound love-infused relationship by identifying and focusing on solutions through love. Awaken the light within and let your essence shine. And now, here's Deborah Bouffet on Love by Intuition, all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome, everyone. Bonjour, mes amis. And yes, here I am. As I always say, Deborah Bouffet, founder, owner of Dream Vision 7 radio network, the Love by Intuition show, and the Kids for Love project and radio show. And this is a live Dream Vision 7 radio broadcast here at 1510 AM WMEX Boston, where you can hear the show at 9 p.m. on Sundays. And then on our own station, which is syndicated, you can hear Love by Intuition Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Well, as if you've been listening, and I have to say thank you so very much for tuning in, because I truly feel Dream Vision 7 represents opening up everyone's heart, teaching everyone how they can live from a place of grace and love, and really getting to know how to love oneself, which is an experience and a journey in itself. So this is all about love, and we have a great guest for you tonight, which is she's going to share with us how we are eternal and we just keep on going and embracing the end of life. Our title is Making Friends with the Last Adventure of Life. In the American culture, due to our materialism and reliance on hard science, we have unfortunately put death outside the circle of life. And together we're going to explore how to weave life and death back together again. And I want to welcome Reverend Maria Dancing Hart Hoagland. I've had her on the show some years back, and I believe the archive is still on our site. I'm going to say maybe 8 years ago. And she is an international author, transformational energy healer, minister, spiritual counselor, and end-of-life coach who honors the body, mind, spirit holistic approach. She has a number of books published: The Last Adventure of Life, Sacred Resources for Transition, The Most Important Day of Your Life, Are You Ready?, Sacred Resources for Living and Dying from a Hospice Counselor, and she has a new one coming out that our dear Dr. Bernie has written the foreword, I just found out. So without further ado, welcome Reverend Maria.
Thank you, Deborah. It's wonderful to be here with you again.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad we connected because, yes. You know, we're all interconnected. This is what I'm saying these days. And even though we may not be talking with each other for years, we're really connected.
It's true. It's true. We stay connected, don't we? Once we connect, like you say, through that love,
yes.
The love keeps us together. It's something I remind people who are faced with losing a loved one or who have lost a loved one, that really love keeps us together. We're never apart once we've loved each other.
Right. And what I say these days is the veil, as they speak of it, isn't mm-hmm. all that thick.
Exactly.
I think the more we connect and reach out, and it doesn't mean that we're living in the past or anything. We're just connecting with our loved ones in the present.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring a lot of wisdom.
Yep.
And guidance.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yes. So have you found in the years since you first started talking about the end of life and dying that the verbiage has changed, that people's hearts are more open and they're conscious of what we're speaking of, that life is eternal?
Overall, I would say yes, that there is more of an opening. But, you know, still the people who are open seem to be opening more and more, and then there's the element that still seems pretty closed or resistant, you know, to seeing things in new ways.
Right.
But overall, it's opening.
I'm sorry. Yes, it is, because I can feel it in talking with a lot of people, because especially as of late, there are a lot of people that are crossing over, it seems.
True.
In large groups, and, it's interesting. It's interesting times.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you find in this day and age when you're speaking with people? What are their concerns, or what is the hottest thing for them living without the people, right?
Yeah. I suppose grief. Grief is a huge one. When I go out and speak, and there are individuals, you know, who have just lost a loved one or who are about to lose a loved one, that coping with grief in our culture, I think, is still a very, very big item, very big thing, because it's just not that acceptable or not that encouraged for people to cry and really honor their grief.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like we don't honor death often, so the opposite end of that coin being grief, you know, they both get sort of short shrifted sometimes.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And I think it's still hard for people to embrace someone that's going through the grief. They want
the person
to get over it.
Right.
And,
right.
And a lot of people walk away because they don't know what to say or
exactly
how to act.
Exactly, because we haven't become comfortable with it ourselves, and then that expresses itself in our not being comfortable being with people who are going through this.
Right. And in other countries, there are countries that celebrate when someone crosses over.
Yeah.
So,
and handle it in a very different sort of way. Yeah, you know, there's more ritual, there's more ways to incorporate the whole process.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What do you find in this? I mean, for myself personally, it took me forever to come to a place of peace when my husband crossed over, and the following year my niece crossed over. So the family just had a hard time. And, you know, there's a lot of communication from the other side, and which is, I find, very soothing. And as mentioned earlier, there's a lot of guidance, and that you, if you tune into it, and really you can have that person there a lot of the time. However, the person isn't actually here in the participating in the flesh. So
right.
It's a little different, you know?
Right. They're more with us in that cosmic sense. In fact, I remember after my mother died that the good news was that I could be with her just by thinking about her, you know, and have my own conversation with her without having to physically go and travel and be with her or even pick up the phone. It was like there was a cosmic universal phone that I could just dial in and trust that she was hearing me.
Right.
And trust the answers, or trust what felt like was coming back from her.
Did it take you a while to trust that?
A little while, but I was doing hospice work at that time, and I guess I was already becoming a pretty strong believer that, you know, even when a person leaves us from this planet, they're very much with us still. Maybe especially when they first go over, you know, in that first year, I remember having several dreams of my mother. The last one being a sort of very radiant picture of her, and more in her prime of her life. She might have been 40 in that dream. And I kind of got the message that, well, she was healed now. She had done some work on the other side, healing work, and felt like she had really come back into her own, so to speak.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. It said, do you believe that when we cross over these different levels and different things that we choose or need to do and sometimes not come back for a while?
Mm-hmm. That's probably true.
Yeah, how
do you probably do it? And one of the reasons I titled my second book, The Most Important Day of Your Life, Are You Ready?, is because I've heard in the Buddhist thought, especially, they feel that the higher the vibration you are when you cross, then the higher level on the other side that you get to go. So there's a correlation, you know, as to your joy and your vibration when you let go and go into the next realm.
Right. And you can, the reason I say that is I was told that my husband is busy with, and he's going to stay there for a while doing some work and learning and actually verbalized that he was just consumed with learning. And, and that makes sense to me.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm sure it's a case-by-case situation, you know, because we're all fairly complicated, you know, and we've had other lifetimes, I believe, and based on the big picture, we need to have certain things at certain times. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Now, I noticed in your information that you speak of forgiveness and reconciliation ceremonies. Do you do that while the person, say that the person is ill and they're in hospice or at the end? Do you do that with the family as a group or do you do it when? Tell us more about that.
Yeah, well, I do it whenever there's a need, really. Primarily, right now, I'm continuing to do memorial services and helping people cope with the afterwards. But I would very much like to be doing more of those services where we are celebrating that person's life before they die and incorporating the forgiveness piece, the reconciliation piece, whatever needs undoing or, you know, whatever needs forgiveness, kind of along the lines of the energy work I do. I do a lot of energy work for individuals one-on-one, either in person or long distance, to help release old negative psychic traumas, inherited emotions, you name it. There's quite a bit that most adults, anyway, are carrying around. You know, as we become adults, we learn to bottle our feelings instead of dealing with them. Kind of like a person can give us the silent treatment, you know, when they're unhappy with us. And then we can't work through the emotions that need working through. So I can do this work on an individual level, but it would be wonderful to do more ceremonies for family units or for individuals, if it's just something between two individuals, you know. I've heard of divorce ceremonies or divorce services, too, where we can help people who are in the process of getting a divorce to help smooth that over and work out the issues that are there so that that can be a more reconciliatory and forgiving, loving act. Because sometimes the people just aren't meant to stay together anymore.
Right. Their work.
Their work works that out.
Right. Their work may be done.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so And with the divorce piece, I mean, and I'm sure that that's what you speak of when you work with them, is when you really come to a place of living from a conscious, you know, you're conscious of what's going on, you're conscious of your own thoughts, and you learn to love yourself. Even if you have a divorce and it isn't amicable, if you hold that love for that person, that, you know, the outcome is going to have more of a flow and an ease, because from a higher perspective, they're going to feel that. Not to say that you're condoning poor behavior or abuse or anything of that sort. It's not about that. You're not condoning. But if you're coming from that place of love and resonating in that for that person and everything that's around the divorce, then it's going to have a different outcome.
Yep. Yep. And we can always intend for the highest love, you know, and the highest and best way of parting possible. Mm-hmm. I actually had probably one of the friendliest divorces or most amicable divorces in the world. I mean, we just kind of both came to a place. I waited for a while because I knew my husband at the time wasn't ready, but by the time I waited and I had a soul retrieval and I had my own work and more clarity on what it is I wanted and needed. So then when the time came, we just had an amazing party. I'm kind of working on doing some writing around that right now, as a matter of fact.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
Because I feel that, you know, we need to learn better how to say goodbye, in a heart-open way.
Right, and it's okay. You know, it's okay if it doesn't work out. I think it's better, you know, if you've tried everything, I think it's better to part for the children, because if you're really unhappy, that's the energy that's going to be in the home, and the kids feel that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's very uncomfortable for everybody, sort of like sitting on pins and needles, when we don't have to suffer and struggle with that anymore, and we can release it and move on, because that's probably what's in the highest interest for all concerned.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the, you know, getting back to the end of life, what are some of the things, the commonality of what you hear from people? And is it different? Do you find it different for someone that's crossing over or has crossed over in their 90 versus a child? Obviously, that's different.
Yes, yes. Of course, it's much different when the death is not expected, you know, when it's a child or when it's a younger person, when it's sudden. I've done some services recently for younger women. One woman, I think, was about 50, and another woman was a differently abled woman in her 40s. And in both cases, they rather mysteriously took ill and then quickly passed away, you know, passed on. And the families were quite distraught because they didn't have a handle on why these women even died. And the coroner hadn't come up with anything on the first initial go-around. So situations like that are very tough. And, of course, it was the parents who were still living and had to be burying these younger women.
Sure.
So, it's quite different in those cases versus when somebody has lived a full life and is 80 or 90, and perhaps they've even had a near-death experience. So they know that death is nothing to fear.
Right.
And they can die more with their eyes open, shall we say, and knowing that they are heading toward a new adventure and have new curiosity about that.
Mm, yeah.
That's what's wonderful, you know, when people can go without the fear.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about suicide when one crosses over?
Well, interesting you bring that up because it came up in a talk I gave recently. You know, I feel, I guess from what I've heard, that suicide is not a great idea. I mean, first of all, it feels like it's such an angry act because it leaves loved ones with a big hole and many, many questions as to what the heck was going on and woulda, coulda, shouldas, you know, what coulda, what the guilt,
right,
and so forth. And from psychics, I've heard that when a person commits suicide, a lot of times they kind of are stuck in a limbo place until their natural birth or natural death time would have been.
Mm.
And I don't know that for sure, but I've heard it said that when people have committed suicide, it is a good idea to pray for them, you know, and to picture them in a place of peace, because they may well be regretting what they have done.
Right, right. And I want to talk more about that when we're coming up on a break. And I'd like to talk more about that, if we may. And for those out there, we're talking with Reverend Maria Dancing Heart Hoagland. She's out in Colorado. She was in beautiful Sedona and just came back from some time over there. She's published a few books, and it's all about, you know, really helping people gracefully to cross over, and for those that are left behind to deal with everything gracefully. And the other thing too, Maria, is how you know, the medical world might label certain times you're supposed to do this or that, and if you're over the limit, then there's something wrong with you psychologically. So we'll talk about that too. So, and we'll get on the numbers.
Yeah, and let's mention my website, which is Change with Courage.
Right. Good for you, because I was just, it was in my mouth. It's Change.
Oh, good.
ChangeWithCourage.com, just as it sounds, ChangeWithCourage.com. We'll be back in a moment.
Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. Includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The Reconnective Healing Spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence. Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
The Dream Vision 7 Radio Network presents Kids for Love. It's a project, a mission, and a radio show. Come join Deborah Beauvais and her young co-hosts every second Sunday at 6 p.m. as we celebrate kids making a difference. We invite other kids to join in for the spirited conversation filled with creative ideas and possibilities to start their own mission. Let's raise the bar together and cultivate a kinder world by getting inspired to help others in need. Kids for Love Project. Celebrating kids that empower others. That's every second Sunday at 6 p.m.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Dear Do you wish to have inner peace while living in challenging times? Are you unhappy and don't know why? Life consists of either a path of love or fear. When we choose a path of love, we learn and grow. If we choose a path of fear, we stay stuck in negativity. The time is now to heal ourselves and the world by choosing a different way. Through the path to your power, your inner light, you will find self-love and experience amazing changes. You can have inner peace, wonderful relationships, good health, and a flow of abundance. Complete the circle of illuminating love using our tools and learn how to retain your power throughout life. To learn more about the path to your power and the Divine Love Within consultations, call Deborah Beauvais at 508-226-1723 or go to lovebyintuition.com.
Invite the Kids for Love Project, an enrichment program, into your school, classroom, or wellness center. Kids for Love Project is focused on teaching kids unconditional love for self and others. The project is a journey into self-discovery. It consists of fun, creative tools to learn self-love, like I choose love, I am love, I stand in love, and utilizing one's energies with reconnective healing and tuning into one's intuition for inner guidance, plus connecting to our natural surroundings. Kids who hold love for self do not bully or harm others. Let's cultivate a kinder world that holds compassion for all. Teaching the power of love to our kids is the way. To learn more or to bring Kids for Love Project to your school, contact Deborah Beauvais, 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to our Kids for Love Project on Facebook.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
And we are back. And everyone out there, if you want to know more about Dream Vision 7, and I want to just mention we've got some exciting, exhilarating, enlightening things happening and launching in September called Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age. And it's... I'm very excited. So check that out. There's a message there, and we have a kids blog. Your kids can get involved. But right now we are with Reverend Maria Dancing Hot Hoagland, and I want to give out the numbers. If anyone has a question about, you know, the process, the grief process, or if you're still having a hard time and in pain, give us a call. Mason is in the house, and our numbers here at 1510 AM are 617-237-1234 or 866-338-9663. One more time, 617-237-1234 or 866-338-9663. And Maria also has another website that focuses on the energy work, and it's runningthebuzz.com, just as it sounds, runningthebuzz.com. And to kind of pick up where we left off with the suicide, I just wanted to mention that my mother-in-law, who is 93 and wants to cross over, my father-in-law crossed on Thanksgiving, and she's afraid. She's thought about doing something, which is understandable, but then she is afraid that if she did, she wouldn't meet with him. And my late husband is her son as well. So, what would you say to, you know, what are your thoughts on that, Maria?
That's an interesting one. Well, maybe there would be a natural way that she could, in a sense, will herself to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's really nothing against stopping eating. I mean, if she's really depressed and not wanting to continue to live, that's the way, you know, the people in the olden days, the Native Americans, the Japanese, the the ancient cultures, when people felt that their time was finished and they weren't contributing to society in a healthy way, they could just go out into nature and let themselves go.
Yeah, yeah.
So it seems like we might be able to come up with something like that for the modern times, you know?
Right. That's a good thought because, I know different stories back in the day, and mm-hmm. that is a good way of being ready. And then sometimes I wonder if she really is ready. I think there's a little fear in there as well, as much as, and she talks about not wanting to be here all the time.
Uh-huh.
But I just wanted to know your insight on that. But she is in fear that if she did do something to help herself along, that she wouldn't go to the same place he is. And we don't really know. As you mentioned, some have said that you go to a different place and you're kind of in limbo. But at that age, I find it fascinating. At that age, you can have dementia, and your mind isn't working properly. Your family members are gone, and yet your heart still beats.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Life is certainly.
It seems like one could take the matter into one's hands, but in a as natural a way as possible, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. I remember reading in an Egyptian book. Oh, what is that called? Anyway, there's a whole procedure that you can follow to help yourself transition, make the transition. And, you know, you lie down in a certain direction and you work with your energy field, kind of your chakras maybe. And there's an actual protocol to help people let go.
Mm. And that may be something for someone that's more clear in the mind to...
I suppose. There's dementia and so forth, that complicates matters, doesn't it?
Right, right. Yeah. And there's a purpose, the way I look at it, is purpose for her to be here, and her time isn't here yet.
Maybe not quite yet, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I wanted to switch gears because during the break we were talking about death cafes, and I've never heard of that.
Interesting. It's a worldwide movement now for some years. And it started over in Europe and took hold in Britain, where a younger man and his mother had the first death cafe, I believe, in the London area. And now it's a worldwide movement, deathcafe.com. And the fellow in England, is his name Underwood? Anyway, he is very good on the web, so he's the one that helped put together the website for the whole thing, and I was just looking online. It looks like the closest death cafe to Boston would be in Bedford, Massachusetts.
Oh, and that's just not the Boston.
Yes, and then there's one in Providence.
Oh, my goodness.
So
tell us what happens at this death cafe.
Well, what happens is that it's usually in a home or it could be a bookstore. There's a Bookman's in Tucson where they hold this up in one of their conference rooms, I think. But it could also be in an actual cafe. And people gather to have tea and cake, you know, some kind of treat, as they talk about death and various aspects of it. It just depends on which death cafe you go to and what topic is up, but people might be talking about their experiences with a death or a grief, or they might be talking about what their hopes are and what their wishes are for how they would like to die. And it's really kind of open open season, I guess you'd say, for what gets talked about. But it's amazing when these groups happen. I helped to start one in Sedona, and people would gather and without too much trouble want to share, you know, because this is an area we don't give ourselves much permission in our culture to speak about. So when there is permission, it's profound how people would want to talk and how the conversation flows.
Are there people that are in fear of dying, or is it those that have been told they are terminal, or is it everyone and anyone in between?
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit of everyone and everything. Mm. There are people there who are quite familiar with death, you know, because they've had many deaths in the family, or they've done hospice work, or they're hospice volunteers. And then others are just very curious. And, you know, of course, most people have had some kind of experience with death.
Right.
So typically the conversation maybe begins around that. But sometimes people with an illness or people facing death and aging are there to air some of those concerns. And yeah, it's a potpourri of all kinds.
Now, do they have, is someone running it per se in a different topics?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
There sort of has to be somebody who's running it, or,
running
you know,
show.
Two or three people who decide that they want to do it and set a date and time and all of that. But in terms of topics, I think it really depends on the groups. And I would recommend people, if they're interested in starting one or interested in joining one, to go to deathcafe.com, and you'll see where the locations are. It looks like in Massachusetts there's a group that's pending, because they have groups that are cropping up, you know, all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that's pending is more in the western part of the state, in Columbia County, it says.
Oh.
Yeah, but there's no reason, you know, somebody listening to this call couldn't get together. Maybe it's helpful to have one other person to do it with and to start your own right there in the Boston area.
Right. That's fascinating. Yeah. I can't believe I never heard of that. Well,
it's possible that in the States it's more known in the West Coast or the Western region, but
yeah,
they are all over.
Hmm. Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Well, we need to take our next break, everyone. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Sundays 9 to 10 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Sunday 9 to 10 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Do you wish to have inner peace while living in challenging times? Are you unhappy and don't know why? Life consists of either a path of love or fear. When we choose a path of love, we learn and grow. If we choose a path of fear, we stay stuck in negativity. The time is now to heal ourselves and the world by choosing a different way. Through the path to your power, your inner light, you will find self-love and experience amazing changes. You can have inner peace, wonderful relationships, good health, and a flow of abundance. Complete the circle of illuminating love using our tools and learn how to retain your power throughout life. To learn more about the path to your power and the Divine Love Within consultations, call Deborah Beauvais at 508-226-1723. Or go to lovebyintuition.com.
Join us on Creating a Spirited Life with Janet Kesenick the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. we'll explore the day-to-day moments that puzzle, enlighten, and bring us into deeper connection with our best selves. Find meaning, purpose, and humor while creating a spirited life. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
The goal of the Jesse Lewis Choose Love Foundation is to cultivate a more peaceful world by creating awareness that we can choose love. By providing tools for our children and communities, we can enable them to develop a healthy level of optimism that leads to resilience. Our mission is to give people the understanding that they can choose love by living a life with gratitude, having the ability to forgive, and to be compassionate. This is a proactive effort towards mental health that'll provide children and adults with the perspective and wisdom they need to be able to navigate through life in a happy, fulfilled, and meaningful way. Our website is jessielewischooselove.org.
Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. Includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The Reconnective Healing Spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence. Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
And here we are. Again, if you'd like to call in, to call right away, we still have time, and Maria could speak with you if you have a question about death and dying or anything under that umbrella. Our number's here at 1510-617-237-1234 or 866-338-9663. So, you know, with life and how things go, because there's lessons all the time, and really I believe that's why we're here, is to grow our souls, and how we do that is through experiences. So how, you know, what would you say? How does someone remain open to learn and grow in light of a family member that may cross over or even one's own pending crossing?
Well, perhaps the first thing to be aware of is that none of us get out of this game called life alive. You know, we lose our body. Ascend, right. We just drop the body. That's right. But it feels like we're leaving or we're gone, and maybe that's the key. You know, if only more people could wake up to the fact that we're not really leaving, or we're not, our life is certainly not ending, it's simply transforming. And so we can continue to communicate with each other. We just need to find a new way and create a new opening so that, and actually that's a wonderful time when someone is grieving, a wonderful time to strengthen our connection with spirit.
Right.
Because spirit is always desiring that we have a stronger connection to her, or with him, with her. Mm. And when a person has crossed over and is now in spirit, what a better time than that to begin more exploration of that world, and to have curiosity about, well, what does happen to someone when we die, when a human dies?
Right.
How can we keep that connection to them?
Right. What would you suggest for those that want to keep a connection? What do you usually teach others?
I think that there is great room for exploration.
You're going away.
And or you could actually visit someone who connects with the other side and see if they might be able to make a connection on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And I had such an experience after one of my people on hospice died. And I went to the woman that he had gone to. He and his wife had gone to a woman who connected them with the other side. And I was able to meet this gentleman, the one who was my connection to the woman who did the reading. And after I connected with him, then my mother came through, who had been dead for about 8 years at that point. So that was quite a special surprise, and I got to converse with her and learn that, among other things, my unborn brother, she had had a miscarriage much later in life, and my unborn brother was not only alive and growing on the other side, but I found out he was one of my bereavement helpers from the other side.
Yes.
So, you know, there is so much more than meets the eye. This was one of my biggest lessons on hospice. There is so much more than meets the eye. And it's time to be more open to all of that,
you know,
that we cannot see.
Right. I think that's important, is to be open.
Yes.
One doesn't have to. One can take on their own beliefs and what resonates with them, and what feels right. And it can, but the whole thing is what I found, what resonates with me, is the more that you connect with the person or persons that have crossed over, the more contact you have. And it's kind of like cultivating the connection, because we are, you know, we are all one being, and it's, I always say we're all one heartbeat, and whether we're in a body or not in a body, we're still living, and we're still that oneness.
Yep. Yeah. We're part of it.
And yes, yes.
We have to stretch our mind, you know, instead of wallowing in the grief and feeling sorry for ourselves. If there's a way we can sort of stretch our spiritual muscle, if you will, and find new ways of reaching out to a world that that may be for us.
We can't hear you. You went away. Reaching out.
Yeah, going out toward that world that feels like it's not a part of us, but it is. It's always been a part of us, and it always will be.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And there could be other worlds and other, but that's another whole story.
Well, and then there are intuitives and different people who can help us bridge those worlds, or you can take a class on learning how to communicate with the other side, and there's quite a bit available out there if you start to scratch the surface.
Right. Yes. And it's amazing what the abilities that we have as a human here on Earth. I mean,
absolutely.
There's a lot of different things. You can travel, and I mean, that's all part of meditation in a sense. You can travel, you can listen, you can receive, and dreams, same thing with dreams. You can, you know, a lot of times people will say, you know, oh, I had this dream and I don't know if she was here or not. And when you're open, because I haven't mentioned this in a long time, but years back when I I was having Reiki, and my late husband came through the practitioner and spoke and everything. It was amazing, and it was an experience that lasted a few days. And what a gift that was, you know?
I bet.
A beautiful gift. But I also know, too, at the beginning, in those years at the beginning, it's tough. It's hard. It's gut-wrenching. You have your own thoughts about not wanting to continue life, and but then you find that there's more work for you to do, and
right.
and somehow you continue on one day at a time, and then your whole world changes, but you're wiser, and it's life is, I say many times, it's fascinating, you know, with all that we experience.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. So do you find, I find in my world that a lot of people that have experience, whether they're children or someone so very close, that they end up connecting with their soul calling and end up doing something in the person's name, or they end up starting a company to serve others. Do you find that?
Yes, there's a fair amount of that. Once people can get past the kind of feeling sorry for themselves and that whole grief piece that can loom quite large.
Right.
But once that's dealt with, then many people can reach out to others, you know, and help them with what they have learned.
Right, right. The you know, I'm thinking of the Sandy Hook there. In Connecticut, many of those parents have gone on to create nonprofits and do just a number of things in the name of their little ones.
Yes.
And, you know, it keeps that person, even though they still, they're eternal, it keeps that person, the person that's on this side, thriving, and it keeps the other, you know, the person that's crossed over, their name and their essence still continues.
Yes, yes, and you know what I've heard? This kind of ties right in. The two fastest ways out of fear are gratitude and creativity.
Yes,
and what a wonderful thing to put together, you know, to create. An organization or some sort of foundation in honor of the one who has been killed or, you know, who was unfairly taken when they were taken.
Right, absolutely.
But that's a beautiful act of compassion and love, giving back to the community when, you know, you could be feeling sorry for yourself and saying, well, ain't this world an awful place, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, right. You're actually a catalyst that brings change
yes.
in the name of the loved one.
Yes, and transformation. It's beautiful.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, well, we're coming down to our last minute or so, and I'd like to give it to you other than putting out your websites, and so people can order your books and all of that. It's runningthebaz.com is one, just as it sounds, Running the Baz. And the other one is changewithcourage.com.
So, and I might mention one other. It's soulbaskets.com.
Soulbaskets.com. Okay. Wow. Okay. Thank you. And till we meet the next time, or until the next time, everyone out there, au revoir.
Are you seeking a clearer path to love? Then tune in to the Love by Intuition show next week. All designed to your highest good. To contact Deborah Bouffet, owner of Empowered Connections, call her at 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or link on to lovebyintuition.com. Remember, we are all one, and we are all part of the miracle of love.